Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Purpose Points Podcast. I'm your host, Barry Claiborne, coming to you from Valley Worship Center in the beautiful San Jacinto Valley of California. The book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, gives us some very wise words. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of respect, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if something is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. And what you learned and received and heard and saw in me, do these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Also in Proverbs chapter 10, verses 18 and 19, these words reveal some great truths. The one who conceals hatred utters lies, and the one who spreads slander is certainly a fool. When words abound, transgression is inevitable, but the one who restrains his words is wise. Folks, I will confess I wasn't prepared for what I was hearing. What had begun as a rather ordinary day had been forever altered by the gripping account that I was hearing. A member of the church had asked to speak with me about an important matter, and soon the words streamed from her lips, each leaping over the other in random bursts. Her once composed face broke as she poured out the bitter anguish of her soul. "But he was once my pastor," she exclaimed. "He was such a big part of my life. How could he say this of me? I've done nothing wrong." I watched and listened to the story unfold, a story of deep disappointment and broken trust, a tragedy, quite frankly, that unfolds too often in the body of Christ. It was a simple matter, but it was not an easy one. It was simple in that an otherwise good man had failed to substantiate a false report against her and had repeated that to others. It was difficult because she had no idea what to do and no idea how to handle her shattered trust. It wasn't just what was being said. It was who was saying it. After a few days of careful inquiry, the distressing account of her betrayal proved to be true. In the era of social media, it was astonishing how quickly his words had lodged in the ears of many who now believed him without question. In the words of one misguided young man, "Perception is everything." Or as Joseph Sobren once observed, quote, "Public opinion is what everybody thinks everybody else thinks," end quote. But these are not biblical conclusions, nor are they biblical remedies. The real state of things must never be at the mercy of perception. And with the sheer volume of information flooding this generation, a rather sophisticated set of filters are emerging. No matter how favorable we present ourselves online, every reader scrolling through their feed will soon enough discern what is real and what is contrived. The more deeply the social media consumer dives into his or her online world, the more likely he or she will emerge with a deeply cynical view of the real world. The self-serving souls and their contrivances will soon be noted, and, horror of horrors, they'll be unfollowed or unfriended. In all of this, we would all do well to remember that no amount of likes and followers can substitute for Christian living. To paraphrase the state motto of North Carolina, we must be rather than to seem. As she continued with her deeply impactful testimony, I was forced to conclude again that calling ourselves Christian doesn't always translate to our actions. The church doesn't always respond to what it hears with biblical lens. As a body of believers, we tend to believe the unproven and discard what is proven. were drawn to the sensational and declined the substantive. The more dramatic the rumor, the more sure we are that it must be true. As one man stated, we place more weight on the seriousness of the charge than we do on the nature of the evidence. And folks, in this, we don't do well. And such was the case here. I was saddened with the realization that a few words, spoken out of turn and without substantiation, had so nearly shipwrecked a truly precious soul. If only he really knew. If only she had been given an opportunity to reveal the truth. If only she had been heard before he concluded. I'm remembering the words of the poet Maya Angelou, and I quote, "There is no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside of you," end quote. This may well be called the burden of knowledge, be it the unspeakable abuse inflicted on the innocent, or the verbal arrows that pierce our very soul. Chief among our human challenges is restraining our responses when it isn't yet time to speak them. Waiting to speak on a matter about which you may possess unimpeachable evidence, while the arrows fly and the rumors spread and the friends abandon you, well, this can be truly agonizing. These will then be seasons that try the soul. And yet, as counterintuitive as it may seem, restraining our words is wise. There is a time to speak and a time to be silent. There are times when what could be said shouldn't be said. Not everything we think should be uttered, at least not in the heat of the moment. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 11 says it well, "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards." This does not mean that we're prohibited from responding. Restraining ourselves from speaking at the wrong time does not mean that we should never speak. It means that we wait to address the situation afterwards. And for good reason, when we wait till afterwards, what is lost can still be rediscovered. What is discarded can still be salvaged, and what is broken can still be healed. And the stakes, these are important considerations. Do the stakes include our own family members, members of the church body, chief friends and friendships? Is our community witness at stake? In these matters, truth uttered prematurely is scarcely better than error. Furthermore, in the event that the offender recognizes his or her error and seeks forgiveness, will the bitter and reactive utterances we've already spoken impede and even destroy true reconciliation? May God help us never destroy the bridge over which the remorseful can walk. Unity in the body of Christ brings about world-changing renewal and harvest. And it starts with our heart. In the meantime, I ask you to consider four brake checks on our premature reactions. Number one, after our passion dissipates. Proverbs 19 and 11 tells us a person's wisdom makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Number two, after we have heard a matter in its entirety. Proverbs 18 and 13 states it well. The one who gives an answer before he listens, that is his folly and his shame. Number three, after we study scriptures for an appropriate response, Proverbs 15 and verse 28 states, "The heart of the righteous considers how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things." And number four, after we have applied the appropriate response, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7, "Love is patient, love is kind, it is not envious, love does not brag, It is not puffed up. It is not rude. It is not self-serving. It is not easily angered or resentful. It is not glad about injustice, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And so if a wrong must be addressed, applying these break checks to your words will help prevent further damage and even destruction to our relationships. If they don't hear you, forgive them nonetheless. More importantly, pray that God forgives them. Forgiveness will reach maturity, not only when we forgive them, but when we desire that God will forgive the offender. Jesus prayed for his ignorant tormentors, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Pray, and then leave them in God's hands. He will always judge righteously. As to the dear sister who had been wronged, well, regrettably, no apology ever came, and she lost a hero. However, what she gained was peace and the certain knowledge that her words and actions were pleasing to God. Folks, I'm just thinking. You can survive the arrows. You can hold your peace. You can retain your integrity. Don't lash out. Your day is coming. Respond, but don't react until afterwards. Thanks for joining me again on another episode of the Purpose Points podcast. I invite you to come again the next time we publish. Thanks for listening.